Hello and welcome to episode 16 of the Spiritual Success Podcast. So I have an absolute treat for you today. I have Daniel, the past life regressionist, on this episode to talk all about the work that he does taking people into their past lives. So if you follow me on Instagram at I am Liz Roberta, then you may have seen a few months ago that I actually had a past life regression with Daniel, and I shared about it on my stories. I've also written a blog, which is on lizroberta.com, all about my experience in the past lives that I saw. But I asked Daniel to come on the podcast because he is an expert on past lives, and he's obviously taken so many clients on these journeys into their other lifetimes, and it is so fascinating. So I cannot wait for you to hear this episode. Welcome to the Spiritual Success Podcast with me, Liz Roberta, a place for spiritual people who want to grow, learn, and succeed in life and a business. I'll be talking to successful spiritual entrepreneurs, authors, and thought leaders to understand what creates a meaningful and soul-aligned life. So come on in, lightworkers. This is your time to shine. Hi, Daniel.
Hey, Liz. Thanks for having me.
You are so welcome. I'm already so excited for this episode. And I know I booked you in for this one quite a while ago because I had my session with you at the end of 2020. And straight away, I was like, I need to have you on the podcast. More people need to know about this work that you do, because the session that I had was one of the most profound experiences I've had. And for anyone who feels like they have an attachment to their past lives, or they meet people and they're like, I'm sure I know you, but I haven't met you before, and had those weird little moments of kind of deja vu almost, or some kind of recognition, it is usually from these past lives, or so I believe. We can obviously get into a lot more about this. But when I actually had the regression with you, and the funny thing is, I actually haven't told you this, but I was looking through my notes on my iPhone, and I had this old list of what I wanted for my Christmas presents. And it was an old list. And the first thing that I'd put on there was a past life regression. And I think just by having it sat there in my notes on my phone, and I'd forgotten about it, I think I ended up manifesting the right person. So I'm so glad that I found you, because the session that I had, it was deep, it was profound. I needed a few days to recover and integrate everything that I had experienced, because yeah, it was definitely a very important part of my spiritual journey. So I'm so excited to unwrap all of this. I know you're extremely knowledgeable about the topic. So first of all, can you tell us what your life journey looked like, and how did you get into becoming a past life regressionist?
Well, first off, just thank you for that. I know you can't see it, but I've been smiling the entire time. So thank you. So my story, well, I guess we'll kind of start off when I was a kid. I did enjoy thinking about these things. Well, the what ifs, you know, there's got to be more to the world than what meets the eye. However, I'm a member of society and a product of the system where we are taught to really not indulge in these things. So I didn't really give much thought to it after, you know, my early childhood, except for being just this thing that may be a possibility, because I'm also very fact-based and very science-based. Like, I firmly believe in science. So this wasn't something to me that could have been proven. So therefore, it wasn't real. You know, fast forward to my early 20s, I came down with an autoimmune disorder. And it sucked, to say the least. And it's still, you know, something that I have to deal with. But it was also the best thing that ever happened to me, because it pushed me to a place where I had to explore other methods of healing, because Western medicine just was not able to heal me, even though I firmly put my belief in Western medicine, which, you know, admittedly, I still do to a certain extent. And there came a point where I had to allow myself to open myself up to the possibility of allowing myself to just explore these alternative methods. And once I did that, I started to notice what at the time just seemed to be signs. And I now have the terminology for those to be synchronicities. And through one of those experiences, past life regression fell into my lap. And it was something I kind of had to sit on for a little while. Then I tried a YouTube recorded past life regression from Brian Weiss, and it was really cool and profound for me. And for the next few months or so, I just tried a few of those. And then I'm like, you know what? It's time for me to go get a real session. So I did a in-person one-on-one, and it just changed my life. One of the most valuable lessons I've probably learned just throughout my entire life is the difference between believing and knowing, where I firmly believe that past lives are real and that past life regression is real, but I don't know for a fact that it is. So I bring that up because I was so moved by that first experience that I left a firm believer in past lives. And by default, I was a believer of future lives. So I said to myself, next time it could be better or it could be worse. These are the cards that I've been dealt this time around. So how am I going to play them? What am I going to do with my situation? And admittedly, still, I was not healed from my health issues. But that was okay because I still had lessons to learn with it. But what changed for me was I was no longer a victim of my circumstances. My health issues were no longer my identity. They were just this pesky thing that I had to deal with. And over the next year or so, I kept having my own sessions once every 3 months, and I was just blown away every time. Then I ended up getting certified, and I love it. It's amazing. It's just so much fun. I never know what's going to happen during someone's session, which is just so refreshing because it doesn't get stale. And it's so cool. Like, it's just so cool.
Agreed. It is very, very cool. And I love that you also had the same experience that I did where it really changed your life. And I think that's why when I said that I needed a few days afterwards to integrate it. And in my session, I was in floods of tears while I was in this past life where I had lost my baby. Someone had set my hut on fire. It was around the 1600s. And these men on horses came into our village, set my hut on fire, and my baby was inside, and I was distraught. And I'm not a particularly emotional person. Like, my astrology chart is very earth-based. So I'm not someone that cries often. So when I do, it's a really big deal. And I was distraught in our regression session dealing with this past life trauma. So yeah, it's incredibly profound. It's incredibly healing. And you do release a lot of energy that we have stored from these other lifetimes. I also love that you have a similar story to me in that you really had your spiritual awakening because you had to find a way to heal. And I was exactly the same. It wasn't an autoimmune disorder, but I had really bad generalized anxiety disorder. And the doctors couldn't even diagnose it for ages because it was so physical for me. Like, they thought it might be a thyroid or a heart issue because I had these intense heart palpitations all the time. I had crippling headaches all day, every day. I couldn't sleep. I was boiling hot. That's why they thought it might be thyroid. So I had this really bad anxiety, and then nothing in Western medicine worked. Like, I was on these pills, and I was like, well, am I going to take these pills every day for the rest of my life? Like, I'm not healing here. And that's when I also had to go on an alternative journey like you. And that was when I realized it was because I had all this blocked energy around my third eye. So we definitely have that story in common. And I think it's so helpful to have someone like you on the podcast who is really science-based. Because for me, I've never been that way. I've always been very spiritual. I'm much more of a creative mind. So I don't have any problem kind of grasping different beliefs, whereas my husband is very much that scientific, mathematic type of person. So it's really great to have you on the podcast. I never remember if it's like the right brain or the left brain, but whichever one it is, I'm so glad that you're here today and also coming from a spiritual perspective, because I think people like you are so powerful to have in the spiritual community because you can resonate with those more technical kind of people in a deeper way than maybe someone like me could, who's more of a creative mind. So I'm so glad that you shared your story with us and you're here to talk to us today. So I want to dig a little bit deeper into what a past life really is, because I almost hesitate to say past lives, because from what I know about kind of quantum reality, they're not necessarily past lives. So you said to me in my session that our past life pain is happening in the present. So are our past lives really past lives?
I believe they are in a linear sense. But then again, I don't believe that time is linear. I believe that it is all happening simultaneously. So I believe that when we go back, the life you were speaking of in the 1600s, it is happening simultaneously, even though through our lens, it was 400 years ago. But that release that's taking place is happening in the past, present, and future, because it's all happening simultaneously. So it's like we're just kind of sliding sideways, I guess, would be a way to put it. It's much easier to view it through a linear lens. I wish that it was that simple, but I don't think that it is.
No, our human brains, I don't think, can really understand how it all really works. I am just in awe of quantum physicists and physicists who know obviously a lot more about it. But from what I have learned, I've done another online course called Divine Time Traveler. And that was all about this, the same kind of principle about how everything is really parallel. Everything's happening at the same time. And it's not really linear at all. That's just the only way that our brain, our human brain, can process it. So you said that the sessions you do are always very different. It never gets boring. And that's something that you love about it. Have you seen any common themes in the readings that you've done, though, which come up quite often, or lessons that people have learned in their past lives that they're having to release when they come to you?
The most common theme that I recognize is fear. It's fear that's carried over from past lives. You know, for me, for example, one of the fears that I'm carrying over is the fear of speaking out, because I've been killed in past lives for speaking out for things of this nature. You know, the earth being round, or, you know, astrology being a real thing, just things that were outside of what was conventionally normal. I mean, I do believe that I've been killed for those things. So even having this conversation with you right now is terrifying for me, because in the back of my mind, it's that feeling of, oh my God, am I going to be killed for talking about this? I know it's not that big of a deal, but I feel like I'm going to be killed for it. So this was something that I had to face, because it was a fear that I needed to overcome, because it shut me up in subsequent lives. And look, I firmly believe in past life regression, the process, and it being healing. But at the end of the day, I believe that the power comes down to the individual who is having the experience, and it's up to them what they decide to do with the information that's presented. So in my case, my fear of speaking out wasn't just going to be magically cured. It was something that I needed to do in order to implement. And to say, I'm not going to let this scare me into submission. I'm not going to let this hold me back. So that's what I did with the information that was presented. And that's what I feel is the most common theme, is fears that people are carrying over. Now, it doesn't need to be the fear of speaking out. It could be the fear of leaving a relationship that has been in a cycle for, let's just say, 10 different incarnations. It's that fear of what will happen if I finally leave this person. Or the fear of just public speaking, or the fear of having children because of what may have happened to a child in the past life that you had. Just anything fear-based, that's the most common theme that I encounter.
Yes, I can imagine, because a lot of us in the spiritual community are familiar with this witch wound, and I'm going to do a whole separate solo episode about this, the witch wound, that so many of us have been witches in other lifetimes and were literally burned at the stake. And we were outcast, and we still carry a lot of that trauma today, even though back then we still had the same intentions as we do now of being really healing and being light workers and making the world a better place. But unfortunately, hundreds of years ago, and it wasn't seen like that, and it clashed with other religions that were dominant at the time. So yeah, I can definitely resonate with you on that one. So I know you're extremely professional, very serious about your work, and with that comes confidentiality. And I know you never share anything about who your clients are or anything that they tell you during the session. There's complete confidentiality. But with anonymity, have there been any like really crazy stories that you've had in regressions, or something really dramatic that's happened? Or have you dealt with anyone that was a celebrity in a past life, like Marilyn Monroe or something?
No Marilyn Monroes, but I have had people who were around people that we know of today. Like, who was it that I had? I had a family member of George Washington.
No.
And their details that they provided during the session lined up with the history of it. So that was interesting. And you know, I've had people around kings and someone on the Titanic. It wasn't Jack or Rose. It was somebody else.
Are they even real people? Like, I don't even know if those two people are specifically real.
I mean, there was probably a Jack on board.
Yeah.
And maybe there was a Rose on board. Just, I've had people of that nature. Sorry, not the Jacks and the Roses, but people surrounding people who have been historical names. And, you know, with that, one of the most common skeptical points that I encounter, I think it's just out there in general, is when people say, well, what about all the times that someone says that they were Cleopatra in a past life? Well, someone had to be. That's my whole take on it. Then again, maybe there are fragments of different lives out there from one soul right now, living multiple incarnations. So it's possible that those people are telling the truth. Or, you know, maybe they're full of it. But I think those are the celebrity-esque stories. But the crazy ones? Oh yeah. Now we're talking. What do you want to know?
What ones really stand out? Like your top three craziest things that came through in a regression. And then I'll share some of what came up in my regression, just in case anyone listening is curious.
Well, the craziest ones to me are, and I need to preface this by saying that you are in complete control during a session. You only experience the experience that you're having because you allow it to happen. So at no point are you ever out of control. And I bring that up because I have had some sessions where there are aliens or other beings who come and speak through the person I'm doing the session with. And those can be pretty interesting because there's a different energy that's in the room, just a different feeling that comes over the space. And it's always just, it's like a jaw dropper. But in that moment, I'm like, is this really happening right now? And then I don't think I realized the magnitude of it until later on. Like there was even one time this happened, I feel like it was probably about 2 months ago. And I said, so am I going to talk to you guys again? And they said to me, you've been talking to us for years. Like, when are you going to get it? When are you going to realize it? I'm like, this does happen a lot. Like, I call it just another Tuesday. See, I tell someone a story of this and they're like, my God, that really happens? I'm like, yeah, it's just another Tuesday. It happens all the time. So I'd say the alien stuff like that has probably happened maybe about 10 times. So those are always crazy stories. Other crazy ones. Well, ones that just happen off planet or in different realms. Those are always super interesting. Ones that take place in Egypt with the pyramids. Those are really, really cool. Because let's be honest, would they really build the pyramids just to be burial chambers? And maybe there's a chamber in there for the burial of a pharaoh. But what else were those pyramids used for? So finding out those possibilities are always intriguing and interesting. Other crazy ones are when people see me in their past lives. So it's seeing those connections and how we're being reintroduced to each other after 100 years, 500 years, 1,000 years, 10,000 years from a different dimension. And why that one is just crazy to me is because it makes me think about the mechanics of the universe and what it takes to facilitate that reunion. So to me, I think that's probably the most mind-blowing is thinking of how vast it all is.
Yes, and it's so interesting that you touched on Egypt, actually, because that brings me on to my next point nicely, which was that my oldest past life that I had, which came through in my regression with you, was in Egypt. And when I was in that past life, I was a young man, and I was the heir to the throne. But from what I could see, the people who were ruling in that time were actually the spiritual leaders. So it wasn't like a king, but I was the heir to the throne because there was a spiritual teacher who was in charge. And I remember standing there and I was in a pyramid and I was watching this human sacrifice. And at the time, I knew it wasn't right. I also didn't feel like it was really wrong because that was what was normal in that lifetime. But I remember standing there and I was watching and I was thinking, this isn't holy. I don't feel like this is a good thing. And then I ended up getting poisoned and I never took the throne. And I looked it up because I'd never heard of this before. I'd never heard that human sacrifice was a thing. And I Googled it and it was, but it was 6,000 BC. And I was like, wow, that is a long time ago. So I saw that. And it's really interesting that you have quite a few people who were in Egypt as well, because that was the first past life that came up for me. So that's so interesting. But I didn't have any alien ones, which is funny because I have had other experiences of that nature, but I didn't have any past lives in other realms come through. But some other ones that I had come through with you were around writing. And I mean, I'm writing in this lifetime, but I had a lifetime in the Victorian times and I was this woman in this enormous mansion, very kind of Downton Abbey-esque. And I was the lady of the house, but I was very, very unhappy. And I was married to this guy I couldn't stand. And I just remember arguing with him. And I was lucky because even though I was a woman, because of the class that I was in, I was able to be educated. So I was educated. Obviously, I was lucky in that we had money, although in that time, it was also very restrictive because my marriage was an arranged marriage because our families had decided it because of the class we were in. In this lifetime, I was very frustrated because I was talking to the maids and the staff, and they were the people that I actually had a connection with. But when I did that, then my family would be like, what are you doing? Stop talking to them. And you weren't allowed to mix classes, and it drove me mad. And I would still write in this lifetime, but I remember seeing an argument where my husband snatched the paper out of my hand and threw it into the fire. And we were just arguing. And oh, it just made me so angry. And I remember when we were in the regression, I was just saying, I'm so angry. And again, I'm not an angry person at all. Like I pretty much never get angry. So because I felt so angry in the regression, I was like, wow, this is something, because I don't feel angry like this for no reason. So it was really profound. And this is why I think it's so important to actually experience it for yourself, because when we talk about it, it's very conceptual and it's easy to say, oh, you're just imagining it. Oh, you know, that isn't real. But when you experience it for yourself, and we did ours over Zoom, because obviously Daniel is in the US, as you can probably tell from his accent, and I'm in England. So it was over Zoom, and I've had hypnotherapy before. And again, I'm having a whole podcast episode about hypnotherapy coming up. But I've had hypnotherapy before, and it was similar to that in that you just go into a very relaxed state. And Daniel does an amazing job of walking you into this relaxed kind of hypnosis state, which sounds a lot scarier than it is. You're basically just lying on your sofa, very relaxed. Like Daniel said, in no way are you out of control. You're not in some trance where he can make you jump up and down and do 10 push-ups. Like, that's not what it is at all. You're just relaxed. You're completely in control. But you see all of these things and you feel these intense emotions, and you really, really do have to experience it for yourself to realize how profound it is. And then it becomes a hell of a lot harder to discredit it or to write off people's stories once you have experienced it. And like Daniel said, we do carry over so many of these things through our lifetimes. And that is why this work is so important as well, because it is so healing when we're able to understand what the root of these issues are, and then we can release them, because Daniel has an amazing process to help us release these traumas that we've had. So can you tell us a little bit about how you help people to actually release any trauma that they have in their past lifetimes?
Sure. You know, one thing I want to touch on before that is thinking about that woman that you were in that Victorian time, and how cool it is that you are fulfilling that desire of hers to write now. Like, that to me is just, it's so cool that it's being fulfilled. I think it's beautiful. So just wanted to throw that one out there. And also why I bring that up is because everything is important. Everything you do, every skill that you are learning now, it's not just about the here and now. It's about how it carries over into a future incarnation. So nothing is a waste of time. Everything is leading to something. For the process of releasing, it's overly simplistic, but it's something that's very complex. And I'm going to just describe it the best way that I can in terms of my understanding of it, because I think that there's something that transpires that humans can't quite comprehend. So it's a matter of identifying what needs to be released. So you brought up the life with the fire. It's a matter of identifying that woman's pain, that woman who you were, forgiving that pain and releasing it. And by the act of doing it, like in a quantum space, it's the healing that takes place across all of time. And by releasing that woman's pain by proxy, you are free of that as well. It's just like, poof. It seems so overly simplistic, but it's that simple, if that answers it.
Yeah, definitely. And it's just come to me as well, a question's just popped into my head that I think some people listening are going to be thinking about. One of my most read blogs is how to know if you have a past life connection with someone. And you did touch on earlier about seeing people in past lifetimes and when people see you in past lifetimes. And it makes me laugh because when I saw you in my past lives, we were always crossing paths, but it was in lifetime after lifetime after lifetime. And from what I could see, it was never like we were talking for really long periods of time, but I'd see us in a field and we'd be talking over a fence. And I know that our friend Sarah, who was on the podcast for episode 4, I know that she had a session and then she said to me afterwards that she saw a lifetime where the three of us were related and I was the dad. And I think you were the brother and she was the sister, or the other way around. So yeah, we have a lot of lifetimes where we meet people again and again and again. And we can often feel that in this lifetime, we have that recognition. You meet someone, you're like, oh, wow, I feel like I know you. Or straight away, you have this deep, deep bond. It's like you're stepping back into something. So what's your take on that? When we see people again and again and again, does that always mean that there's like unhealed trauma? Or do you meet people again in different lifetimes because you are friends and you have a strong soul bond? What's your take on that when we meet people in lots of different lifetimes?
I think it's all the above. You know, even when it comes to something such as whatever a soulmate may be, I believe it's possible that your soulmate may also be your greatest enemy in any given life because of the lessons that they're here to teach you. And, you know, when it comes to those who are here to assist you as well, I believe that it's so much more intricate than we can possibly imagine. Like with Sarah, you know, I do take the confidentiality strictly, but since we discussed some of this on her podcast, it's totally okay. Like Sarah in particular, I mean, there was two lives where I died trying to save her. Like one where she fell into like a river or lake or something like that. And I ended up drowning trying to save her. And I think in the life that she was referring to with the three of us in it, I can't remember what the circumstance or the situation was, but I think I died in that one also trying to save her. And when I talked to Sarah initially, it was like seeing an old friend, just like with you. Like when we talked for the first time, it was like it was talking for the first time, but it wasn't. It was like we settled back into this natural, like, hey, it's good to see you again. And how have things been for the last 500 years?
That is what it's like. It's so funny.
And sometimes I think that recognition is just a gut feeling. Like when I heard Sarah on your podcast before I'd done a session with her, I'm like, I know her. I know her from somewhere. I'm probably going to end up doing a session with her at some point because I know her from somewhere. I don't know where, but I know that I do. And I think it's just that gut feeling. Or if there's someone that you encounter who absolutely repulses you and you don't know why, like there are times in my life where I am absolutely repulsed by some people, but they are amazing people. And consciously, I'm like, why do I feel this way? They're so sweet. They're so genuine and kind. They're so friendly, and I know that it's not an act, that it's who they really are. But it's that recognition of, you did something to me before, and I don't like it. And how to distinguish the two is where it becomes difficult. Because one of the things that people say to me very often before a session is, what if I see something that I can't unsee? And my response is always, well, for starters, I don't believe you will ever see anything that you're not ready to handle because your higher self is really the one running the show and they know what you can handle. So at no point have I ever had someone say after a session, that was too much. I've had people see a lot of heavy stuff, but they've never said that was too much for me to handle. And a lot of times people also say to me, well, what if I see that I did something horrific and I can't unsee it? My answer is always, it doesn't matter who you were, it's who you are now that matters. So why I bring that up is because with these people, I want to give them the benefit of the doubt. Even if I have that kind of feeling, like it's not who they were then that matters, it's who they are now that matters. But still the question is, well, why am I having this reaction around this person? Or the person where you have this amazing feeling around them and you don't know why. Like it's so easy to settle into conversation with them. And I believe it's because you're just picking up from where you left off and that we all switch roles. So like Sarah had seen in that life, you were our father. It's very possible that I could have been your father in one life or your mother. And you could have been my mother or you could have been my sibling or my best friend. Hell, you could have even been my enemy at some point, whatever that even means. But I just believe that we switch roles. It's like, hey, you know, we're going to come in this time. We're going to try this. And yeah, I'm going to give you a hard time when you're 24 years old, but it's going to be for your own good. And you're sitting over here like, yeah, I know. I'm agreeing to it. So then we're good. Yeah, we're good.
Yeah, I agree, because we do go through these lifetimes. I was lucky I didn't see any lifetimes where I'd done anything quote unquote bad. I mean, I'm sure there obviously were some, but like you said, we go through all these lifetimes to learn and to grow and to do better each time, hopefully. So that brings me nicely onto my next question, which has just popped into my head. Have you noticed any difference between young souls and old souls? Like, have you noticed some people that only have lifetimes kind of more recently, and then some people who are more old souls? Have you seen any evidence of that, of there being a difference between old souls and newer souls?
You know, I think it's difficult to tell. I mean, I think when you're around someone and they just have a natural wisdom, you just feel like you're around an older soul. But I also don't believe in what I guess would be referred to as a upward ascension process in terms of evolution on Earth. Almost like, I don't want to even say like a caste system, but just if you start out simply and work your way up, whatever that ladder may be, and whatever people's perception of that may be, because I believe that we jump around where there are lives, you know, that I saw for myself 1,000 years ago, where I was more advanced than I was 500 years ago, or more advanced than I was 200 years ago. And then in the life from 500 years ago, I was more advanced 450 years ago. I think it's just a matter of what the lesson is and what needs to be learned. Like, I also feel that it's very difficult to peg down an old soul, because I think the most naive person in the world may be the oldest soul around, because they may just be at this point where they're like, look, I've covered 999,000 different lifetimes. It's a pretty big number. And I missed the one where I came in as incredibly naive. So I have to go back and do that one. So the oldest soul is the one who comes back as, hi, everyone. How's everyone doing today? Everyone doing well? I think it's difficult to look at someone or their past lives and peg it down to new soul or old soul. With that said, I still feel that there is a feeling. And sometimes you just intuitively know that you are speaking with someone who has been around the block a few times.
Agreed. I definitely agree with you there. And everything that you've been saying, it really makes me think of the book Journey of Souls. This, I read it a few months before I actually had my regression with you. And that first opened my eyes to the journey of the soul. That's why it's called Journey of Souls, and how we go through all of these different lifetimes. And like you said, it's not linear. We don't start off in poverty being a mass murderer, and then in 10,000 years, we're royalty and we're the best person ever. Like, that isn't what happens, like you said. And that book is an incredible way to, it's basically a book of this guy who was a past life regressionist, and he tells all these stories of his clients and what they experienced in their regression sessions. And I know that you are really into books. On your Instagram page, you recommend loads of books on these kind of quantum topics. So do you have any books that really stand out that you would recommend to people if they're interested in learning more about this stuff?
Well, definitely Journey of Souls.
Yeah.
That one is just such a fun read too.
Mm-hmm.
My go-to is usually Many Lives, Many Masters by Brian Weiss, because it's very grounded. It comes from a very grounded point of view, which I think is a great place to start. I'd also recommend Dolores Cannon if you want to be in an absolute state of awe at just some of the things that she encounters. Like, reading her books, there were times when I'd just say, you know what, I got to put this down for a week. I have to process everything that I've just read right now, because, whoa, those are some absolute mind blowers. Another one that I'd recommend is Only Love is Real by Brian Weiss, because I think it is an incredible love story that's told through a past life lens. And also for Michael Newton, he had Destiny of Souls, which was the follow-up to Journey of Souls, and that was a fun read as well. But when it comes to time, there's a fictional book that changed my life. It was called The Timekeeper by Mitch Albom. And it shows the beauty of time and how time is precious. And I feel that was one of the most influential books that I've ever read. So I would definitely recommend that one as well. But if you want to have your mind blown, sorry to jump back to Dolores Cannon, read her Convoluted Universe series. That will give you some real pondering material. And yeah, just... I think anything by those three authors
Thank you so much for those. I honestly have the biggest Amazon list and a few of those are on there. But those Dolores Cannon. They sound amazing. So I'll probably have to go to those ones first. So my last question for you is, what is your favorite thing about doing this work? Why do you keep doing it? And what is it that you love most about taking people into their past lives?
Do I have to pick one?
No, you can say whatever comes to you.
I love getting to know someone on a deeper level than just what you see. Like with you, you know, we spoke for a couple hours before your session. So it's like I got to know Liz in the here and now. And then I got to see where Liz has been. So it's so cool to see how these past life experiences shape your current personality. And also how there may be no correlations whatsoever, but it's more of a totality of your journey. Like I think that is so cool to be able to see that. And I love being a part of that. I love being the person to facilitate a very unique experience where there are thousands of practitioners out there, but it's still something that is very unique and not many people have experienced it. So to be the person that puts that forward for someone, I love being that person. It's also really fun when someone asks you what you do and you tell them, yeah, I'm a past life regressionist. And just like the head take that they do, like, wait, what? What's that? And then you get to explain it to them. You get to introduce it to them. And I think that's really cool because if you tell someone that you're a lawyer, they know what a lawyer is. They may ask you what kind of law you practice, but they know what a lawyer is. Or if you say you're a teacher, they know what a teacher is. Or an accountant, they know what an accountant is. But not a lot of people know what a past life regressionist is. I love when people see things that go against the narrative that we've been taught about the way that history is, in that things may not be what we've been led to believe, that things may be different. I think it's really cool to uncover that information. I think it is just, it's so cool to see that people have their own time machines living inside of them, and being the person to lead them to a space where they can access that information. I have great pride in that act. And just the look on someone's face when they see someone who's passed away in this life, but they see that they knew them in a past life, in that look of, I know that I will see them again. It moves me so much to be there for that experience. And I love the intellectual aspect of things, but when it comes down to it, I think the matters of the heart is probably the most moving and most profound for me, being a practitioner, being a part of that experience. I think that's probably my favorite.
Wow. I'm smiling so much right now because that is just incredible. It's incredible work that you do. And honestly, if anyone's even slightly curious, like I said, I had this on a list in my phone and I've been looking for a past life regression session for years, but I never found the right person. And I'm so glad that I did come across Daniel. And obviously you're in California and I know usually you do a lot of in-person sessions, right?
Mm-hmm.
But you do them all on Zoom as well. So for anyone listening who's in the UK or anywhere else in the world or on the other side of America, you can do this all over Zoom. And I don't want you to think that it's any less effective in any way. It is exactly the same. And I can attest to that because I had it and so many other people, we've all done them on a call. So don't think it's going to be any more or less powerful because it's in person or not. And Daniel is just incredible. I can't even say enough words for how amazing this session was and how powerful it was. So I'd recommend Daniel 10,000 times over if you do want a past life regression. So where can people find you on Instagram? How can they book with you?
You can find me on Instagram at The Past Life Regressionist. And my website is yourpastliferegressionist.com. Also, just thank you so much for your kind words and what you just said. Like, that means the world to me. Thank you so much, Liz.
No, it's all true. And thank you for sharing all of your wisdom today. I kept throwing loads of questions at you, but it's just because I'm so grateful to have you here being an expert on all of this stuff. And I know that this is going to be a very, very interesting episode indeed. So I hope everyone's enjoyed it. And please do reach out to Daniel. He's on Instagram. Like I said earlier, he does share a lot of these books as well. So you can really learn so much more about these kind of past life quantum topics. And it is a rabbit hole. There's a lot of information and it will really, really blow your mind. So if you are interested, check out Daniel's Instagram. If you want to go deeper, of course, book a session with him. But thank you so much for coming on today, Daniel. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me. And for everyone listening, thank you for your time.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to this episode. And please remember to subscribe to this podcast. I'm sure that like me, you would love for more people to know this information. So if you leave a review and send me a screenshot of it on Instagram, which is at I Am Ms. Roberta, you'll get a $50 voucher code to use on one of my online course launches. This won't be around forever. So go and leave a review now, and I'll see you next time.